starting a new series tonight. Anybody know what the name of the series is? Anybody been paying attention? Mind control. Somebody said, what? No, the opposite of mind control. We're talking about brain games. Brain games. And the brain is always, you like that? Anybody ever watched a show, Brain Games? Anybody? Yeah, I like it. It's on Netflix if you haven't. You know, I probably shouldn't endorse it from the pulpit because you never know. I haven't watched every episode, but I will say it's a very fascinating show. The brain has always been a very fascinating thing to me, the human brain, because I think about all the things that the human brain has accomplished. I mean, think about it. We build spaceships and then we send people into outer space. The human brain figured out how to do that. Like, that's crazy. We figured out how to land on the moon. Somebody's brain figured out exactly how to land on the moon, and we've actually been on the moon. Somebody's brain did that. So the brain is brilliant. I think about smartphones, and y'all probably don't think nothing of it, Ashlyn, because y'all have always had them. But, man, the things that we... I'm sorry. She kills me. She's like, it's serious. Okay. All right. I'm sorry. Do we need to pray? Do we need to stop and pray? Okay. God, touch whatever is troubling Ashlyn in the name of Jesus. But anyways, just like a smartphone, I would never imagine that you could sit in church and do the things that we do or see the things that we see on a telephone. When I was growing up, the telephone was hooked to the wall. I think about the things that the human brain has done and the things that it has come up with and how smart it is. But this is what gets me. What gets me is how easy it is to manipulate the brain. Like how easy it is for the brain to just get a little bit confused. I know I've mentioned this in here before because this is so crazy to me. Anybody heard of the placebo effect? The placebo effect, it's where doctors will give people medicine, but it's not actually medicine. It's like, it's sugar pills. It's a placebo. It's fake. And they'll give people who are actually sick fake medicine and tell them that it is medicine and it's going to help them feel better. And you know what happens? They start feeling better because they believe it. Their brain goes, oh, this is medicine. I feel better now. The opposite of that is true as well. They've done studies. This is where I really start losing it. They've done studies where they'll be like, okay, guys, we're doing this trial for this new medicine, and here are some symptoms that we've had. It's people will get headaches, people get nauseated, they'll get tummy aches, they'll break out in rashes, and it'll be a placebo. It'll be a fake pill, and they'll give these people this medicine, these fake pills, and tell them that it's medicine, and you know what happens? They start having reactions to a fake pill because they told them they'll start getting headaches, they'll start getting stomach aches. Y'all, they'll break out in rashes. They will literally break out in rashes, and the doctors will be like, man, dude, like, it's a fake pill. Like, how are you even doing that right now? Like, it's, but our brain is just so easy to manipulate. The brain plays games. It's easy to play a game on the brain. And so it's always fascinating me. It's always fascinating me how much our lives are affected by what's going on up here. How many of you know what goes on up here? Miss Heather was talking about the Enneagram. I'm actually a 5. Does anybody actually know what the Enneagram is besides Ashlyn? No, probably shouldn't even be talking about it then. It's irrelevant. But I'm a number 5, which means I'm an investigator. And so Pastor does, but the kids, man, they don't know. Kids, man, it's just right over their head. But I'm I'm the type that's an investigator, which means I'm constantly thinking. Like, I'm constantly thinking about stuff. I live life in my head. And so that's good. God made me that way for a reason. That's good when I'm mentally healthy. But when I'm mentally unhealthy, it ain't a pretty sight. Anybody want to say amen, Lucas? It's not a pretty. You ever seen? Probably not. God, I hope you've never seen me. Well, you have, but you haven't known it. But anyways, and so I have to keep my mind. The Bible talks about keeping your mind renewed daily by the word of God. And we'll talk a little bit about that next week. But this week, I want to talk about a certain brain game, the brain game of perspective. perspective. I always try and talk to you guys, and whenever I'm talking to you guys, I always try and give you a good perspective. Perspective is the easiest way to explain it. It's the way you see things. It's the way you view things. It's the way you view things that are going on in your life. Perspective has very little to do with the facts and a whole lot to do with your position. This side of the room is seeing me in a different way than this side of the room is seeing me. Pastor Brian is seeing me from an angle that y'all aren't seeing me. You're all seeing me, but it's all dependent on your perspective is dependent on where you're sitting. You ever opened up the camera on your phone and it be forward facing and you wonder how in the world people even stand to look at you? You're like, man, I am a monster, and I don't know how people even bear to look at me, because most of the time when you open it, you're holding it down here, and it's just like, ah! But you know, you don't really look like that to most people unless you're like feeding a baby. I think about that sometimes. I'm like, man, I'm glad this baby doesn't remember this, because this is a bad angle that this joker's getting right now. But anyways, it's all about how most people see you like this. And so it's all about your angle. Ladies, you know I'm talking about angles, taking pictures. We'll take 1,000 pictures. It's all about the angles. Selfies are about the angles. What you think you're seeing may not always be the most complete and most accurate picture. I sent Miss Jennifer some pics. Did you get the pics, Miss Jennifer? And I love these. These are perspective pictures. I love these things. When people are traveling, they love to take these things with the Eiffel Tower and stuff like this. I love it. I mean, we all know that he's not literally holding the Eiffel Tower. It's a perspective thing. Go to the next one, Miss Jen. Yeah, I like that one. That one messes with you. Isn't that crazy? It's all about the way he's looking. Go to the next one. I love these things. That's cute. I want to try that. It's just where at. Look at that one. Ain't that cute? Ain't that cute? Go to the next one. I don't even remember how many I sent you. I love the dog on the wall. Ain't that cool? Cool? Yeah. They're all dying. I think that's my favorite. He's holding the airplane. It's all playing. It's the angles, man. It's perspective. These are all perspective. I think that's the last one, right, Miss Jen? Yeah, I love it. Perspective. Like I said, these are brain games, y'all. Perspective. It's all about your angles. It's all about how you're looking at it. It's all about the position you're looking at it from. Are y'all listening? C.S. Lewis said this. I love this quote. This is C.S. Lewis. He says, what you see and hear depends a good deal on where you are standing. It also depends on what kind of person you are. What you see and what you hear depends a good deal on where you are standing. It also depends on what kind of person you are. You ever met a negative person, and no matter what's happening, it's going to be negative? You ever met a positive person, and no matter what is happening, it's going to be positive? And so I love the Word of God. And like I said earlier, it's important to have our minds renewed by the Word of God daily. And the reason is because the Word of God gives us God's perspective. The Word of God gives us God's perspective. In James chapter 1, I know y'all were wondering when I was actually going to get to the Bible. James chapter 1, it's one of my favorite scriptures. It gives us a biblical perspective on how we should see difficult times in our lives. So when we hit a hard time, this verse gives us God's perspective on it. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I'm going to read it again. It says, consider it pure joy. This is your perspective on difficult times. You should be considering it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature. Everybody say mature. Mature and complete, not lacking anything. Consider it pure joy. our perspective of our hard times, our perspective of our difficult times, of our trials in life, should be that of joy. Kind of offensive, ain't it? Joy. There's a version that says, count it all joy when you face trials. There's a version that says, consider it an opportunity for great joy. There's a version that says, consider it a gift when you have a difficult time. A gift. When's the last time you were having a bad day and you thought, okay, so today, and you stopped and said, man, what a joy. Anybody ever done that? What a gift this is. What a joy this moment is. What a horrible moment this is, but man, what a gift. Yeah, you know, like this, what's that girl's name? It sparks joy. This day is sparking joy. I can't stand that show, man. I don't know. I know people love it, but I don't like it. Anyways, you probably don't say that, but James says that we should. He says that we should try and see our trials and difficult times from the perspective of joy. In other words, put your joy goggles on. You ever put colored glasses on? If you were to put red glasses on, everything in this room would have a red tint to it. If you were to put green glasses on, everything in this room would have a green tint to it. He's saying put your joy goggles on so everything that you're seeing, you can see it. It has a joyful tint to it. Now, does God cause bad things to happen? No. Like Miss Heather was talking earlier. Man, I should have just been like, Heather, just keep going. You's preaching. You's doing a good job. God does not cause bad things to happen. God is light. In him there is no darkness. Ryan and Joel were talking Sunday morning. God is good, and what God does is good. God doesn't cause things, bad things to happen. There's evil in the world. Bad things happen because there's evil and there's sin in the world, and there's sin and evil in the world because man let it in there, okay? Adam and Eve let sin and evil in the world, and that's why bad things happen. So God doesn't cause bad things to happen, but God will take the bad thing. God will take the difficulty. God will take the difficult time, the trial, the hardship, and he will use it to build perseverance in you. And he will use it to make you mature, and he will use it to make you perfect and complete to where you aren't lacking anything. And that's why we can look at it with joy. What's happening to you may not be good, but God is. What's happening to you may not be good, but God is, and he will take it and he will turn it around for your good and for his glory. What an awesome promise that is, that no matter what I'm facing, even when it's horrible, I can say, I know without a doubt that my God is good, and that whatever I'm facing, he will take it and turn it around for my good and for his glory. That is a wonderful thing. It talks about the testing of your faith. Your faith is going to be tested. I don't think we tell people this enough. Your faith, your belief in God, and in the goodness of God, and in what God will do, will be tested. And that's a good thing, according to James chapter 1. It's a good thing. You know, we want people who are doing important things. You're going to do important things for the kingdom. You are doing important things for the kingdom right now. And we want people who are doing important things to be tested, do we not? When I get on an airplane, I want to know that the pilot has gone through school and that he's been tested. And not only that he's been tested, but he's been through some trials in the air. Amen? Anybody? I don't want the pilot to get on there and say, hey, you know, it's my first time. I just passed the book class. I passed the test, the written test. Never flown before, though, but here we go. We'll see how it goes. No, I want him to have some flying hours under his belt. I want him to have gone through some thunderstorms, possibly a hurricane, maybe even some emergency landings. I don't know, Heather. I want him to have experience. I want him to have gone through things, through trials, through hardships in the air, so I know that he's going to do what I need him to do, which is get me from point A to point B safely. It's why when you take a driver's license test, anybody have their driver's license? Yeah. When you go to get your driver's license, you'll have to take a written test. But after you pass the written test, there is a test that you'll have to pass on the road. And Lauren, you're not just gonna have to pass the written test. You're gonna have to pass the test on the road, because they want to know on the road is where you learn. On the road is when you really learn what to do and how to handle it. You learn it by actually going through it and doing it yourself. I'm telling you, it's good. And that's where you really learn how to do things. And when we go through trials, when we go through hard times, that's when our faith is tested. And that's where we really learn how to handle stuff. That's where we really learn what to do. That's where we really learn that God is actually good, Miss Heather, and that he is good and that he's going to do what he says he'll do. Our faith must be tested. And while it's happening, good things are being produced in us. We're maturity. Like I said, perseverance, the ability to keep going when things get tough. That's what perseverance is. When things get hard, it's the ability to keep going. And let me tell you something, you're going to need that. Because sometimes life is hard and you're not going to need to give up. You're going to need the ability to keep going. That's what perseverance is. And let me tell you something, the enemy will crawl right up in your head. He will crawl right up in your head and try and make you feel like what you're facing right now will never end, that the pain you're feeling right now will never end, that the darkness you're in right now will never stop, and then you'll never get out of it, and that there's no hope. He will make you feel hopeless, and he'll make you feel like the only way out is to just quit. You might as well just give up and die. But baby, he's playing brain games with you. I'm telling you, it's a brain game, and he's a liar. He's a liar. I'm telling you, it's the truth. He's a liar. Sometimes you just got to put your joy goggles on and say, you know what? I know it's tough right now. It's tough right now, but I'm going to make it through it. Sometimes you got to zoom out and see the bigger picture. Sometimes you, just like those pictures I was showing you earlier, you could see what was really going on if you would just zoom out. You've got to know that God is going to take this and turn it into something awesome. And guys, I'm not saying that what you're going through right now doesn't matter. It matters. I'm just saying that there's more to it than what you're seeing right now. You've got to get the right perspective or you'll want to quit. Sometimes it's very difficult to just see past our day. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's difficult to see past it. You got to zoom out. You can let yourself get bitter, or you can let yourself get better. And I want to get better. That's right. It's a brain game. It's a brain game. I heard this story one time of this man who was an alcoholic, and he had two sons. And one son grew up and became an alcoholic just like his father. And the other son grew up, never drank a drop of alcohol in his entire life, became a very successful businessman, very successful husband, father, successful person. They asked the first son, who became the alcoholic, they said, "How did you get to be the way that you are?" And he said, "I watched my father." He said, "Wow." They went to the other man, never drank a drop of alcohol in his life, successful. They said, "How did you get to be the way that you are?" And he said, "I watched my father." Same daddy, same childhood, two different perspectives, two different ways that they were looking at the situation. One went down this road, one went down the other. Guys, perspective is important. The way that you're seeing what you're going through right now is so important. Stand to your feet. It's funny. I know I've had social media since I was 18. That's 12 years. Who's 12 in here? Anybody 12? You're 11. Yeah. You're 12. Yeah. Yeah, you feel old? Yeah, there's some young kids in here. And they do this thing to where they show you the memories that you have. They show you memories every day. You know, you get on Facebook and it's like, this is your memories for today. It'll be something from 10 years ago, and it'll be like, man, I'll have posted. Man, it's so embarrassing, y'all. If y'all had this, you wouldn't post anything ever again. Because I would have just been said something. Was I like 20? And I'd say, man, worst day ever. I don't even remember what the day. But that day, when I was in it, was bad. To the point where I thought the world should know that today was the worst day ever. And here I am 30. I don't even know, like, what was I even doing when I was 20, man? Oh, man. Now, I'm laughing, but there's some people in the room right now who just kind of want to walk up here and slap me. Because the pain that you're feeling right now, man, it's unimaginable. I kind of want to slap me. I've been there before where I'm hearing a preacher say something like this, oh, consider it a joy when you're going through a difficult time. And I'm like, man, if you only knew what I was feeling on the inside right now, what my heart felt like, what my mind felt like, man, if you only knew. But guys, this is the truth. This is God's perspective on your life. I'm not trying to discredit your pain. I'm not trying to make light of it. And you know what? God isn't either. God, he says things like this, but he's not discrediting what you're going through. And he's not just brushing over your pain. One of my favorite stories ever, and I know I talk about it all the time, but it's just, it means so much to me, is when Lazarus dies, guys. Lazarus dies. And Jesus finds out about it, waits a little bit, and he goes to raise him from the dead. Like, literally, he's on his way to perform one of the greatest miracles ever done. And he's on his way to do it, and while he's on his way, Peyton, Lazarus' sister comes out, and she falls at Jesus' feet, and she is wrecked. She is heartbroken, and she's weeping, and she's crying. And Jesus could have been like, all right, Mary, get up. I'm about to blow your mind, girlfriend. Knowing good and well what he was about to do, Miss Heather. Knowing good and well, he was like, I'm about to really make her happy. But he didn't just brush over her pain. It's the shortest verse in all of the Bible, and it's the sweetest to me. Jesus wept. He wept. He saw her hurting, knowing good and well what he was about to do, knowing good and well that he was about to give her the biggest breakthrough she'll ever see. And he stopped and he wept with her because he knew she was hurting. And you know what? I believe he still does that today. I believe he does that for us. So I'm not telling you that your pain doesn't matter and that you should just get over it. But I'm just saying that God wants you to have a proper perspective. He wants you to know that he's going to take what you're facing right now. God doesn't waste anything. He's not a wasteful God. Whatever you're going through right now, you're going through it for a reason. And that's the perspective we should have. Sometimes you just got to zoom out. Sometimes you got to put your joy goggles on. Sometimes you got to take the camera instead of holding it down here. You got to hold it up here. You got to get the right angle, baby. Perspective is important. And so what I want us to do tonight is I just want us to find a place to pray and say, God, help me to see what I'm going through right now the way that you see it. Help me to zoom out. I don't want to just have my perspective. I want to see it the way that you see it. I want to see myself the way that you see me. I want to consider it a joy, and I want you to give me strength to face whatever I'm facing. You can come pray. You can find yourself to pray, yourself a place to pray, or if you need one of us to pray for you, come get us. Everybody say this with me. Say, joy is coming. Joy is coming. I love that scripture. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. Count it all joy when you face trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And once perseverance has completed its work, you'll be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I want to be mature. I want to be complete. That happens, the testing of your faith. You just got to get the right perspective, guys.